right. Marty Lurie here on KMBR 680 with the Hall of Famer, and that is Gaylord Perry in spring training. Gaylord, it's always nice to see you down here. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Marty. There's always one guy older than me. That's you, Marty, that comes to spring training. But spring training was just great for, you know, when I was starting out in baseball, you see such great players, and if you do good, you'll be a part of it, and I was lucky enough to be a part of it for a long time.
What was your first spring training like in a big league camp? Now, imagine back then the Giants were in Casa Grande for some period of time, then they'd come over to Phoenix, and didn't have a lot of people in the Cactus League in those days. You only had a few teams.
Well, the first year I came was 59, and they did not have Casa Grande until 60. Uh-huh. So I came to spring training just to throw batting practice. Bill Rigney was the manager, and I threw batting practice for a few days, and they got their swings in, and then they sent me to Sanford, Florida, I believe it was, and that was the last year that I trained in Sanford, and I went and made a double-A ball. Ray Mayer was my manager, ex-catcher, and it was a great experience for me, and you know, in that, right next to the old ballpark in the Stockyards, they have a great restaurant, mm-hmm. and I ate there last night, and that brought back memories. We had great pictures on the wall, and I showed the guys that was with me, and we just had a great time, and a lot of things go by, and you remember some of the great ones, and that was one of the great ones, the old ballpark at the Stockyards.
Wow. Gaylord Perry, the Hall of Famer with us, and always a pleasure to run into him in spring training. Gaylord, you know, it's funny. I watch pitchers throw batting practice these days, and, of course, the coaches throw most of the time, but in the beginning of spring training, they throw the live batting practice for the pitchers. In your day, you threw batting practice. Now, this was a sort of, hey, don't hit it back at me kind of stuff.
Right. We had the protect net up there to protect us with, and when they hit the ball at the middle, it was just pretty hard. I'd throw at them, you know, say, hey, don't do that. But you pretty much knew who hit the ball at the middle. Harvey King was a great one of that when I had him. But the big hitters, you didn't want McCovey hitting up the middle because he'd hurt you. But it was a great experience and something I love. And then in 1960, Casa Grande came in, and we go down there and play, and it was five baseball fields, and they had about 900 kids out there trying to make 10 clubs.
Wow.
And so about each day, 10 of them would get cut to come crying. You see somebody coming your way, you go hide. You want to get, you wouldn't want the coach to talk to you. It might be getting sent down or released or something, but it was... I was just down in Casa Grande and spent three nights there, and some great memories came back, and I saw home plate and the pitching rubbers on the wall and a lot of baseball cards that was part of that group then.
You know, Gaylord, in those days, there wasn't a big Cactus League. You had the Cleveland Indians at that point. You had the Red Sox here at one point in 1960. They came by, and then when the Colt 45s came in, they were here. But the Cactus League really, and the Cubs, of course, were here. It wasn't a like 15 teams like we have today.
I know it was. It's been so great that they kind of gotten all together, not long road trips. I know I played with the Texas Rangers down in Florida one year, and you go from Pompano to Fort Myers. It's about a three-hour trip or more, maybe four, each way. So you want to be pitching. You get with your pitching coach and says, I want to pitch this day. And that was the day you didn't have to go to Fort Myers. And so I know why a lot of the clubs moved here to Arizona. It's just, I think, surprises that for those people have to go, and it's like 30 minutes. So it's a great, they've done a great job in Arizona of getting clubs here.
All right. Now, your first spring training, you say, is back in 59 or 60 with the Giants. But how did you make the club the first time? Did you make it out of spring training?
I made it right at the Stockyard restaurant. I mean, the ball field there. I went in to pitch and play in the Milwaukee Braves at the time. They were tough. Had Matthews and Aaron and Jones and Adcock and Crandall, and they just had a great team. They was winning championships, and I pitched about six or seven innings and shut them out, and I made the club.
Wow.
So that was just a good day for me, and Alvin Dark was the manager then, and so I made the club for a while. Got sent down later, but that's a good experience I had.
Oh, it's great. And thinking about Eddie Matthews, my goodness, what a tough ball player. He got into it with Frank Robinson, and Frank Robinson never came in high again. He didn't. Eddie Matthews was one tough cookie.
Yes, he was. He didn't take any slack from anybody. And you knock him down, come close to him, he give you that look. You didn't want him to come out there and mount. Everybody respected Matthews. He played very hard. He didn't give in to anybody, and he was a great defensive third baseman.
Yes, he was. And a lot of home runs, over 500 home runs as well, and a Hall of Famer like you. You know, we did a show the other day talking about great players in the National League. I mean, you pitched in the National League. I still say it's the best 10 years that National League has ever seen with the teams and players. And so people say, all right, Willie Mays was the greatest. But who was next? And it kind of had a sort of a split of Hank Aaron or Roberto Clemente. What do you think about that?
Well, Roberto Clemente was excellent, and also Henry Aaron. Henry Aaron did it so quiet, and Clemente had a little more flair about him, and he was the greatest right fielder I saw. He could throw with a bounce off the wall, back to home plate, and make a perfect throw, better than anybody I've seen. I know I saw Mays on second base one day in Pittsburgh, and there was a ball hit down right field line, off one bounce off the wall. Mays thought he was going to score. Yeah. He got halfway between third and home and said, I can't make it. He stopped, went back to third. That's what a great base runner he was, but Clemente was the best throwing outfielder I saw.
Oh, interesting. You mentioned Alvin Dark, and they called him Cap. And, you know, 1962, you guys win and get in a World Series against the Yankees and all that. What was Alvin Dark like as a manager?
Oh, I learned a great deal about watching Alvin manage. He was always, when the hitting and run situation was there, he made it happen. Bunt was there, he made it happen. And if you didn't bunt it down, you got to find a dozen golf balls, and that's why I hate golf today, you know, because he would give them to one of your teammates, and they come over and they say, thanks for the golf balls, Gaylord, and that really teed me off, you know. Alvin was one of the smartest managers I played with.
Yeah. All right, Gaylord Perry with us, and of course the Hall of Famer. Now, Gaylord, you're down here in spring training. We see you all the time. It's always a pleasure to see you. What are you doing this March down here? Because I know the fans will come down, and they always like to see you and see you with Fergie Jenkins and people like that.
Well, Fergie Jenkins has the Fergie Jenkins Foundation out of Canada and the U.S. He lives in Arizona here, and we played together in 75 with Texas, and I became a great supporter of his and admired him greatly. And so we signed here at all the ballparks about 30 days, and he does a lot of fundraising for a lot of charities, and I like the people coming by. This is about his 15th year, and it's my third year in a row with him, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, good. You know, Murph was talking the other day. We had lunch, and we were talking about you, and Murph said, boy, Gaylord did not want to be traded in that Sam McDowell trade. He did not want to go anywhere, but you were traded. What happened?
I don't know. In 1970 and 1971, I won a total of 40 games and one playoff game with Pittsburgh against them in the playoffs. But I don't know. That's the thing. Charlie Fox is the manager, and Charlie was a scout when Sam McDowell was a senior in high school. And he wanted to sign Sam, big left-hander, throw really hard. And the Giants wouldn't give him enough money, so Cleveland signed him. And so when he became manager, we didn't have a general manager back then. You know, Mr. Stone would make a trade, and then he said, okay, my manager would make a trade. And Charlie traded. He says, as I understand, you can have your pick, Marichal or Perry.
Okay.
And so he took me. So I went to Cleveland, and there was not much to do in Cleveland but play ball. So I had a great year there, and I just paid attention. I had Ray Fosse start with the first year. Was great. He knew all the hitters and what they could hit and not. And I set up my defense and had Greg Nettles at third and Chambliss at first. So we had a pretty good corner stuff. And but the next year they got traded to New York and made them world champions, you know. It's tough when you get traded a lot. But I surely didn't want to leave. My kids were in school there. I had a home there in Patola Valley, and we loved it, but those things happen.
Charlie Fox, I thought that was it. Gaylord, great to have you on. It's a pleasure.
That's great to be with you again.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you. One of the greats of the game. Thanks, Gaylord.
Thank you.
All right. More coming up in KBR 680, the sports leader.